so I'm going to run with it.
In Isaiah, I believe chapter 6, Isaiah is caught up and he's in the throne room of God. And he's having a conversation with God.
See if I can find it real quick. I believe that we're going to go that route here for a few. Let me find Isaiah. Yes, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It was this. It goes, "It was in the year King of Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphims, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces." Not just face, but faces. "With two they covered their feet. With two they flew around. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' The voices shook the temple of his foundation. The entire building was filled with smoke. Then I say, 'It's all over for me. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among the people of filthy lips. Yeah, I've seen the King, the Lord of heavenly armies.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard," verse 8, "then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am, send me.' And he said, 'Yes, go. Say to this people, listen carefully. Do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden their hearts of these people. Plug their ears, shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts.' Then I said, 'Lord, how long will this go on?' And he replied, 'Until their towns are empty, their houses are deserted, the whole country is wasteland, until the Lord has sent everyone away, and the entire land of Israel lies deserted.'" For the verse 13, "I, even a tenth of the remnant, survive. Even if the tenth of the remnant survives, it will be invaded again and burned. But the terebinth, or the oak tree, leaves a stump when it's cut down. So Israel's stump will be a holy seed." The king died. The angels in heaven were talking. They were not just talking, they were worshiping God. And saying, "Holy, holy, holy." We don't serve just a God of statues. We don't serve a God of make-believe. We don't serve a God who sins. God did not make a mistake ever. If anybody told you that God's word is full of error, God's word is the word, he's never made a mistake. God is infallible. That means he's perfect. There's nothing wrong with God. He's perfect. And as being a perfect God, he's holy. Holy means set apart. You know what? He is a believer. You know how he looks at you? Does anybody know how God looks at you as a believer?
Holy.
That's right. Holy. He doesn't look at you as a sinner. He doesn't look at you as a sinner. He looks at you as holy. So, you as a believer, guess what he did? He picked you up and he set you apart. You're not supposed to be like the world. The world stinks. You ever smell a kitty cat box?
after it's been used, they're nasty. I grew up with cats. You got to pick up after them. They're nasty. Why do you think we don't have pets? Because they don't pick up after themselves. But the thing about it, God says, these angels are crying. And the thing about it, this is not like a, like what we think is an angel. Just say that this angel has six wings. I don't know about you. You ever seen an angel with six wings? I never have. I have seen angels, but I've never seen one with six wings. And it says that he, God, was sitting on a lofty throne. He's not just kicking back, drinking Red Bull or something like that. He's up there. The angels are starting what we get to do in our lives today, worshiping. It says, he was sitting in a lofty throne. Who sits on the throne? Who? A king. A king sits on the throne, right? Who do the people honor in countries that have somebody that sits on the throne? The king, right? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Yeah, that's easy to say. But do you call him holy? Is he set apart? Are you set apart? And so he's sitting on this throne. It's a lofty throne. And the train filled, the train of his robe filled the temple. You think about it. His clothing just filled the temple. That's a massive robe, y'all. And we're down here whining over 12 inches of snow. In March. Trust me, I had that plow come through a couple times. They were not being my friends that much longer. But his robe filled the temple. You know what another time he filled the temple? It's when they dedicated it. It's when they sacrificed it. They killed all these animals above and beyond what they were supposed to do. And then God came in. When you make a sacrifice of praise, God feels that. God feels this. Well, I don't feel like worshiping, Pastor. Jesus probably didn't feel like dying on the cross either, because it said, Lord, if it's not my your will, I'm out of here. Hasta la vista. God, the Father goes, you're going to the cross because there's people in God's center who needs to know that I love them, that I died on the cross for them. I took their shame, their guilt. See, the thing about it, when he died on the cross for our sins, he didn't just die for sin. He died for guilt, shame, abandonment. He died for your healing. He died for it all. He died for your deliverance. He died for your freedom. He died. And guess what? Here he is, these angels. Attending him were mighty. It doesn't say how many. They're mighty serpents, or seraphims. Each having six wings. Two wings covering their face. Their face, the angel faces couldn't even look at God. The angels go like this. And then they had two covering their feet. And two other ones just... I would love to bend the nets. But you think about it, when you approach the holy God, he'll convict you of your sins. See, that's what's taking place here. See, we can say, oh man, I'd love to have a Book of Acts church. See, all these cool things happen. 1 Corinthians full of sin, adultery, debauchery, all that garbage. But in the midst of that, Paul's writing, and he goes, here are some gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the midst of trials and tribulations, God is like, I'm here with you. But are you willing to humble yourself
and repent.
Well, what do I have to repent of?
I don't know. Ask God.
This week has been horrible. I mean, I love it because there's been a lot of garbage that Jesus has shown me.
You ever get convicted of jealousy?
Maybe I'm the only one. You ever been jealous of somebody having a nicer toy when you're a kid? Man, I just got this old plastic yo-yo, but he got the Dunkin' yo-yo that you can walk and stuff.
But so here they are. They covered their faces. They covered their feet. And then with the two, they flew. Then they were calling out to one another. We need to tell each other, God is holy.
We need to remind ourselves how holy God is.
Psalm 34? Maybe not.
We'll see if we go there. I think we will. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies, and the whole earth filled with his glory.
When you worship God out of just, Lord, I love you, and this really stinks because I'd rather be watching the NCAA tournament than going to church. And this takes sacrifice. I mean, I have to get up before noon and get to church. This is a sacrifice, Lord. He goes, yeah, and I love it. He loves your time and he loves your worship. He desires your worship. Guess what? But he won't make you worship him. He will not. The Antichrist will make you worship him.
The world will say, you got to follow this one. You got to worship these people. But Jesus never said, come and worship me. He would, well, he could come follow me. But the thing about it, God says, I created you to worship. But it's your choice. You get to choose to worship. And I'm going to declare today, it's a day of worship in our house. And worship is not just three songs and we're done, y'all. Worship is life. Worship is going after Jesus in your everyday life. Worship is what you eat. Worship is what you wear. Worship is how you speak. A couple weeks ago, I talked about that phalle, which is not just a four-letter word. It's what you confess out of your mouth. And some of you have confessed rotten things over your life. And you need to repent of that and come out of agreement of that. And you need to come in agreement with what Jesus says, that I'm a child of God, and no matter what comes against me, I'm going forward.
We have a lady who's up in New Prague
who 3 months ago was told she would never leave the hospital. She was going to die in the hospital.
I looked at that report and goes, there's no way
she's going to stay in that hospital.
Because there's no doctor who's greater than my God.
There's no lawyer who's greater than my God. There is no system greater than my God.
Because my God's able to do things. And now, she's doing therapy 6 days a week. She's off of water chip, ice chips. And now she has clear liquid diet.
Don't tell me my God can't do it. God walked in her room and said, don't give up. And so here they are. They're shouting voices. And when the whole earth was filled with his glory, and this is great, verse 4, their voices shook the temple of its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Can you imagine we love and we fear God so much that this place starts shaking? And this place we feel, we don't need smoke machines.
We don't need loud guitars and rocking bands either. What we need is a heart after God.
When the AG, Assembly of God, was first founded back in 1913,
down in Little Rock, Arkansas, I believe.
I heard this about 2 years ago. We're not getting to 1 Corinthians, by the way.
They said that the worship was so strong and God was so great that the glory of God filled the place where they were gathering. And they had to
weave in and out to not trip over people
because they couldn't see through the smoke of the Holy Spirit.
And now we're afraid to speak in tongues on a Sunday morning. We're afraid to preach what God tells us to preach. See, when we don't walk in the fear of God, we lose the presence of God. Their voices shook the foundation. And then verse 5, God speaks. Then I said, then Isaiah says, I am doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I have among people filthy lips. Yeah, I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven armies. When you get in the presence of God, you feel guilty. You feel filthy. You feel nasty. Because why? Because he's holy, perfect, righteous, and holy. And and when we come, and yeah, he wants us to come before him. But when we get closer to him, we realize that the garbage that we have in our life, we need to lay it down. And he gets to have it because he went to the cross for it. Then he goes, one of the servants, grab a coal. The servant wouldn't touch the coal. He grabbed one of those tongs. Like grabbing the corn out of the pot. So you won't burn your hand in the scalding water. And so put it down. Grab it. And he flew and touched his lip. And then he became unclean. When God touches you, you come unclean. Remember that lady in the Bible who was breaking through the crowd and says, unclean. She never said she was unclean. In the Old Testament, New Testament, if you had a disease, you had to go around saying, I'm diseased, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And people would scatter. But one person did not scatter. That was Jesus. He did not scatter. So when you come to him and you feel unclean, he's not rejecting you. But he's going to clean you up. And guess what? He's going to touch you. And you're going to repent. And things will get changed. Because you can't follow him full of sin, guilt, and shame. You can't. You can't fulfill everything he's called you to do if you have guilt, shame. That was your past. Well, I did it last night. That was your past. Well, I did it this morning. Well, that was your past. I'm telling you right now, that guilt and shame is holding you back. And God wants to open new doors. He wants to kick through that door and says, come on, let's go. There's people who's dying that don't know Jesus. God saved you not so we can warm a pew. God saved us not so we can look good. God didn't save us so we can make sure we have the cutest little Easter bonnet on. God didn't save us so we can go through routine Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There's people who you know, who's related to you, who don't know Jesus. I have family members that don't know Jesus. They know who he is. Oh, they know Jesus. They know his stats. Yeah, he healed 32 people. He raised 8 people. I'm just throwing out stats. I don't know if these are true or not. It's like they know him like they know a football player or a basketball player. They know his stats. They haven't been used by God. Maybe in the past, maybe even now, but they don't have a relationship. Then the Lord was asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And are you going to answer that call? Are you going to answer that call? Are you going to answer that call?
when that neighbor, when God tells you, go bake cookies for that neighbor, I don't like them. I don't care if you like them or not. If you don't answer that call, God's not going to give you another one. Some of you, God told you to do something, and you're still sitting on that now. It's 10 years ago. And you're wondering why God hasn't talked to you lately, because you haven't done what he asked you to do lately. And then he goes, yes, go, say to the people. This reminds me of the cross. Listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Their hearts might be hardened. Plug their ears and shut their eyes, that they may not see with their eyes or hear, nor understand with their hearts. Lord, how long will this go on? Until destruction comes to Israel. Sometimes God will give you an impossible task to do on your own. Well, Lord, I've been nice to my neighbor for the last 3 weeks. When are you going to turn to Jesus? Keep being nice. Keep doing what God told you to do. While their dog goes poop on my lawn, pick it up. Throw it away. Serve God. Bless him. See, so many times we want the perfect. Well, Lord, I share my testimony. Everybody should come to know Jesus. Some will have hardened hearts. Some will. But I'm telling you right now, God's sending you. And you're pulling back and you're dragging your feet. I'm telling you right now, it's not that time. No, that's not it. I thought this was it. Nope. Let me. There's a verse I want to find real quick. Give me a moment. See if this will work. All right, here we go. Oh, 24. That's where I got mixed up. Not 34. All right. Psalms 24 states this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all of its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean's depth. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who? It tells us who. This is only those with a pure hand and a pure heart who don't worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have the right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you, seek the Lord, and worship in your presence the God of Jacob. When God sets us apart, he desires us to go where he's at. He's come, he's calling. Says, come worship me. Come worship me. That's what the Lord said. Come worship me. Those who can worship the Lord, truly worship, those with the clean hands. Well, if my hands are clean, I took a shower this morning. Doesn't mean physical hands. It means your spiritual hands. Is your hands doing what God's called them to do? See, David had hands of war.
Clean hands. Whose hands are pure and whose hearts are pure. Is your heart pure?
Oh. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about Your thoughts. You know who knows your thoughts? You do. I have no clue what you guys are thinking right now. I can assume what you're thinking. But the only person that knows your thoughts are you. I've been married to my wife for almost 30 years. I'll be 29 this year, 30 next year. She put up with me that long. You guys think you have it wrong. She's put up with me almost 30 years. But the thing about it, I still don't know what she's thinking. And guess what? Sometimes she has to tell me what she's thinking. Because I have no clue. Sometimes you can read it in people's faces like, oh, I just hurt their feelings. Oh, I just did something right there. They're happy. They're smiling. But a lot of times you still don't know their thoughts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, the only way you know God's thoughts, did you know that you can know God's thoughts? Isn't that cool? You know what God's thinking. You can. As a believer, you can know what God's thinking. You know how you do that? It's through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians says, by the Holy Spirit. And you can't do that when you have a pure, impure motive. You do that when you have a pure motive. You ever prayed with an impure motive? Come on, we all have, Lord, slap them! Lord, change them! One of them said, Lord, change me. Purify my heart. And then it goes, those who don't worship idols. Why, I don't worship an idol. Well, want me to go down the list of idols in America? Sports, gambling, drugs, alcohol, food, preachers, family, cars, job, finances. Well, want me to keep going? Safety, security, guns. I can keep going. Boats, fishing, what you wear, style, your friends, your friend group. How about you worship the gift that God's given you? We can give, there's only 20 idols. How about the latest and greatest of technology? Do you worship AI? Most of us probably would say, I can do without AI. But there's people that are, see, idols are not just statues that we just put up like Buddha or all those things like that. Idols get in the way of God. How about health? How about what you say? See, when we come to God with a pure hand and a pure heart, we'll receive the Lord's blessings and have a right relationship with God. And that will seek you and worship you in His presence. And then it says interlude. In other words, break time, half time. Verse 7, this is the cool part. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient doors. And let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? Who's the King of Glory? It says right here. It goes, the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord invincible in battle. Invincible in battle. Who's the King of Glory? He's invincible in battle. When you worship God, He shows up on your behalf. He fights your battles. Then it goes on, it goes, open up the ancient gates. Open up ancient doors. Let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? The heaven, the armies. He is the King of Glory. There's things that you need to close in your life that you have allowed to open. Maybe it's music, maybe it's television, but maybe it's past history. Maybe it's from your ancient gates, from your past, from your family that you don't even know about. But guess what? God says, open the gate of worship so I can enter in. Open the gates of worship, and I will enter in. When you open that gate, other gates will start closing. Because God's going to say, close this gate, close that gate, close this gate. There's gates I had to close this morning because they were not of God. In my family. We're religion. I had to close the gate of religion in my family because we loved going to church. But having a relationship with God, that was not even on our tongue. I had to close the gate to addictions. Because addictions in my family run high. But guess what gate I opened up? I go, Lord, any gate that my family missed that was by you, that they were supposed to call out, that they were supposed to carry out, and they did not carry out, I say, those gates start opening so we can open those, so we can move forward. Ancient gates of living water church, the things that we're supposed to do, open those gates. You open the gates to the Lord, not to the garbage. And when you open the gates, the glory of God, guess what? He'll come and rest. But guess what? We get to open. You get to open the gate. God won't open the gate. Just like Revelation chapter 2, I believe, or chapter 3, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. That's not for salvation only. That's for every day of your life. Jesus is knocking on the door. He goes, hey, open the door. Let me come in and hang out with you. Let my glory fill the temple. Let my glory fill your place. And when I do that, boom, your life will radically change. But you've got to open that gate. You get to. But if you choose to stay there and say, I'm not doing that, that's called pride. And Satan got kicked out of heaven because of pride. He got cast down. And guess what? Pride doesn't take you down. It takes other people with you. Think about it. When Satan got kicked out of heaven, his pride did not just get him kicked out of heaven. But guess what? Got 1/3 of the angels kicked out as well because of pride. Guess what? Your pride, when you say, I'm not going to go up and dance like Pastor Tommy did, I'm not going to help this or that. You can't tell me what to do. You ever babysit somebody? They go, you're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do. Some of you do that to God. God, you can't tell me what to do. Sign up to the army and tell them that to the lieutenant. Lieutenant, you can't tell me what. Oh, adios. Tell that to the king of the country. King, you can't tell me what to do. Oh yeah, I can. I'm the king. See, we get the vote. We don't get the vote for what God tells us to do. I didn't get the vote on this message. If you don't like it, take it up to God. If you don't come back, take it up with God. This was not even close to where I was headed. But God has something for us, but He wants to separate us from everybody else. Before they entered the promised land, what did they do? Anybody know? Anybody know what they did before they entered the promised land? What Joseph called them to do? Oh, by the way, before they entered the promised land, there was a change of leadership. Sometimes the old leaders can't take you to the promised land. So sometimes you have to connect with new people to take you farther than you ever have been before. Guess what he called them to do? Consecrate themselves for what? 3 days. Before they enter to the promise. And then consecrate means be set apart. Get Egypt out of you. Get set apart. And then when they got set apart after 3 days, that means no adult relationship even. They had to get rid of food. That means fasting for 3 days. You know the biggest drug in America is? Food. It's the biggest addiction in America.
there, like, in the world?
Because we need food to survive. But a lot of times we idolize the food. How many of you have ever gone, I'm guilty of this, you've gone to a family reunion, and you're like, oh, it's not a family reunion unless there's that dish. Like, oh, Aunt Marjorie is going to bring her special yogurt pudding jello mixture that is out of this world. Well, if she doesn't, it's not going to be a good meal. The biggest drug is food. The biggest addiction is food. And did you know in the American church, there's more unhealthy people in the American church than outside the American church, statistically? That's, I'm going to go down a rabbit trail and then I'll really, but what we're going to do, there's a song, "You Can Have All Me, Bud." I think you can find that one. We're going to pray. We're going to open the altar. You can go. You can be dismissed. But I want to say, you guys are awesome. But before we get what God has for us, we got to consecrate ourselves. We got to set ourselves apart. We got to do not what the world says. We can't do what the other churches are doing. I don't want to be like Pastor Franks or Pastor Rogers or any of the other churches around, or even in the world. I want us to be different. Not different to be different's sake. I want us to be different because holiness has lost its value. Oh, you're just being... No, we need to make sure that we cover our eyes when we watch some TV shows. Better yet, turn off that TV show. Better yet, turn off the TV, period, because it's a bunch of programming. And by the way, if you think you know what's going on by watching the news, you have no clue what's going on because they only give you what they want you to know. The left, the right, middle, I don't care. They only give you the information they want you to know. All right. We're done. Do you find that song, bud? If so, go ahead and hit it.